Thy Curious Holy Spirit, and All My Trials. Let those songs admonish us in words, teaching us as the Bible tells us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we come to thee at this time, Lord, thanking thee for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us, blessing us to be here today, those of us, Lord, that are believers of God, and those, Lord, that of us, Lord, are believers of God and searching for the right way, Lord, that you have drawn us in the same place, Lord, that we may discern and divide your word to see if those things are so. Father in heaven, Lord, we are thankful for this time, for all that your Son has done for us, Lord, that we may continue in the faith. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We had a great time yesterday, just want to say. It's a great time, it's to say the least. But I'm glad that God has joined us together, our brother Carter and sister Carter. Amen. We're holy matrimony together in front of witnesses. Amen. Let every word be established. And we thank God for that great time that we shared together and to encourage them as well. At this time, we're going to go into God's word of study. We want to thank Brother Hall for reading the scripture as well. And also that we want to be mindful that Brother Jackson today, my prayer is that that I will concisely take note of a few scriptures and a few words here in this chapter. This is a very familiar chapter to us. Also, the Bible tells us to say, if we keep in memory of the things that what we have learned, we don't want to let this is our hope. This is that prize that you keep on shining and shining, and you say, at least I have salvation. After it all, after we cast our care on him, at least I have eternal life. The gospel only brings two things eternally: eternal salvation and eternal damnation. That's all it brings. So let's look at this book of Acts is written by Luke. And the reason why we know that it's written by Luke, and if you turn to Luke 1:1-3, it tells us that O Theophilus, as he starts off. And if you turn to just for reference sake, in Acts the first chapter, and when we look at this scripture, Acts the first chapter and verse 1, the former treaties that I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. This book is written upon eyewitness testimony. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and those books are the gospel as well. But this book is written upon eyewitness account. And it's a beautiful thing that the eyewitnesses of Jesus even came together with the story that it still fits just the same. And we must know that, because there's different ways to prove the word of God. Here this morning, the Bible says scripture interprets scripture. What we want to prove here this morning is that the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, that it was promised to the apostles and not anyone else. Though there were others that assembled in the upper room, only the apostles were given the Holy Spirit, a promise that came with power that sat upon their head. And we want to prove that this morning. And as you read the scripture and as you search the scriptures with me, we're going to see it unveil itself, hopefully, and that your understanding of receiving may be clearer. So let us get into this process of doing as the Bereans did, to study and to see if those things were so. Look at verse number 2. It says, until that day that he was taken up, after that, through the Holy Ghost, he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. And one thing in discerning this topic this morning, I want you to remember your pronouns. One thing in helping us to discern the Bible is we want to know who's talking and who he's talking to and what is he talking about. And here also, too, you want to examine your pronouns here, if you will, and keep it in context of the scriptures. It says, until that day, which he was taken up after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the who? Apostles, whom he had chosen, to whom he had showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Showed that to who? The apostles. Being seen of who? Them. Who? The apostles. 40 days and speaking the things pertaining the kingdom of God. Now, let's drop down to verse number 4. It says, and being assembled together with them, who? The apostles, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But wait for the promise. But wait for the promise. Who? The apostles. To wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye, another pronoun, the apostles, not everybody, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days from thence. Let's drop down to verse number 8. Some of this study is familiar with us, and I'm hoping that we can move along as fast as I want to move this morning, but to hear the word of God. Let's go to verse number 8. It says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Talking about the apostles again. Oh, everything is clear. Everything is crystal clear right now. But ye shall be a witness of me in Jerusalem. Mark that, Jerusalem. Who shall be witnesses? And what is a witness? In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. A witness. Everybody can't be a witness. To be a witness of a crime, I wasn't there or you was there. Were you a witness? These 11 men at the time, the apostles, witnessed Jesus' resurrection. Yes, he was seen by many others as well, but he said, ye shall be receive power. Look at verse number 11. He says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? Ye men of what? Galilee. Why ye stand ye up gazing in the heaven? This same Jesus which was taken from you from heaven shall also come in like manner as ye seen him go into heaven. So we are, the Bible is concentrating on who the promise is given to. And that is the apostles. Let's keep on reading a few more verses. It says, then, verse number 12. It says, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is in Jerusalem, from a Sabbath day journey. And when they all come in, and they were in the upper room, here's where we have to keep our mark at. They went into the upper room, and it names the apostles, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, his brother. If you count that, that's 11. Look at verse number 14. And all, these all continue in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brother. Look at verse number 15. Oh, don't keep your mind off what the Holy Scripture says. He told the apostles to tarry and wait. Look at verse number 15. He says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the apostles and said, the number of names together, the number of names together were about 120. But Peter stood up in the midst of these 120. He stood up in the midst of these 120. We're going to find out what this 120 is there for. It says, men and brethren, the scripture must need to be fulfilled. This is why he's standing up. Because the scriptures need to be fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David had spake before concerning Judas, which was guided to them to take Jesus. Look at 17. For he was numbered with us. Talking about Judas. He was numbered with us and have obtained part of this ministry. Look at verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, falling headlong, burst asunder in the midst of all it, and his bowels gushed out. Look at verse number 20. For it's written, Peter's standing up and he's speaking this. For it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein, for his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, here's why the 120 is there. Here's why the 120 is there. Wherefore, of these men which accompany with us all the time that Jesus went in and out among us, look at 22, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, why is this 120 here? Must one be ordained as a witness? That's why they're there, to obtain a selection process to be a witness. One out of that 120, one must be ordained to be a witness with us to partake of this bishopric with Judas. That's why the 120 is there. Look at verse number 23. It says, and they, who is they? Part of this 120, the apostles, and they anointed two, Joseph and Barsabbas, who called surnamed Justice and Matthias. And they prayed and said, thou Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men. Show whether of these two thou hast chosen, of this great people that are gathered up in the upper room of the 120. And they gave forth their lots, and it fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the who? The 120? He was numbered with the 11. He was numbered with the 11. And when the day of Pentecost fully come, now the Holy Spirit comes, and it fills their mouth, and the tongue set upon the 11 with Peter, it is 12. Closing tongues of fire, verse number 3, and it appeared and sat upon them. Look at verse number 4. And as they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. You want to ask yourself today, see, when I came into the church, my father was a member of the church, my mother was a member of the church, but my father, that I understood, brought my mother from a former doctrine. So I'm what you may call the Church of Christ baby. I love the other stories that other people have, where they come from a form of doctrine and learn about the Church of Christ. But those of us that in the church may have some doubts as well. And you must not be wavered from any form of doctrine. So let's continue on. It says that they stood up, verse number 4, and being filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them others, as they were dwelling in Jerusalem. And that's going to name who was dwelling at Jerusalem. Look at verse number 7 through 11. This is going to, not 7 through 11 yet, but verse 9 through 11. It's going to call out all these, those that dwell in Israel, those that dwell in Jerusalem, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those are dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judah and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Persia, Pamphylia, all these that dwell in Israel. When you count them, it's going to be about 19, 17. You count them. They there for you to count. Count them. All these will dwell there in Israel at the time. Look at verse number 7. It says, and they were all amazed. Who? The crowd of the Jews, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Look at verse number 10. And while they steadfastly looked toward heaven, as they went, two men stood by them in white apparel. He says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing up to heaven? All right. They're talking about these apostles. They're not talking about the 120. They're talking about these apostles. Look at verse number 14. Says, but Peter standing up with the eleven, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you, and hearken unto my words. He stood up with the what? 11. Not the 120. He said, hearken unto my words. For these are not drunk, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is what is spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Peter stood up with the 11. They had to wear terry for the Holy Spirit. Many doctors today tells us how we must be a member of the church. We must tarry for the Holy Ghost. No, the apostles had to tarry for the wait for the power. And our subject today is biblical doctrine, biblical conversion, the biblical doctrine of conversion. And you must find your doctrine in the Bible to be sure. The Bible said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's continue on. So chapter 2 of Acts, verses 1 through 11, the apostles preach the word of God by the power of the Holy Ghost to different men in different languages. That's showing you what tongues is. That's showing you what tongues is. How is it that we hear, that we speak, them speak in our own language? That's showing you what tongues doing today. What are tongues doing today in our world today? You don't understand what they're saying. You don't understand, and they don't understand either. What you say? Ask them. Because the word of God must be made clear. Because at the end of the message, they're going to say, what must I shall do to be saved? Let's continue on. Look at verse number 26, chapter 2. We point out some verses. Says, therefore did my, excuse me, chapter 1 and 26 says, and they gave forth their lots, and it fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. You know, the Bible is constantly making a discretion of the 11 apostles, and one must be added. The 11 apostles, and one must be added. And this gospel that he promised to the apostles must be preached from Jerusalem unto all of Judea, because they're going to be witnesses, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Jerusalem, that's Jew territory, Judea, that was a part of the flock of Israel, but they fell away to Judean religion, but unto those type of Jews, unto Samaria. Samaritan was part Jew and part Greek. Unto the uttermost parts of the world. So we have Jew and Gentile that are carried. Let's go on to verse number 36 of chapter 2. Chapter 2 says, therefore let the house of near Israel know assuredly that God had made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's what the gospel message is all about, that Jesus is not just a prophet, but he is Lord and Christ. And just to say that he is a prophet is to deny his divinity. Oh, he's just a prophet. Yeah, I do recognize him. Jesus is Lord and Christ because he sits on the right hand of God, verse number 34. He sits on the right hand of God. He is both Lord and Christ. Let's look at some more verses. We want to look at the gospel process. And I hope that your mind is making more clear. You may still have some more questions, but that's all right. Look, hopefully we get those questions would be ironed out. Look at verse, we're going to look at the gospel process. It says, Now when they heard this, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Whatever he's going to tell them to do, this is going to be the first conversion. This is going to be the first people that's going to be added to the church. This is going to be our example that we have to follow. This is something that you can point in the Bible and say, this is what I must do. And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. This would be a good time for Peter to say, what you have to do? Nothing. Just say this prayer with me. And you are a member of the church. And you ask the Lord to come into your heart, forgive your sins, and thank him that you are a member of the church. That you listen to what they're teaching out in the world today. You listen. Look at the next verse. The Bible says, for the promise is unto you and all your children, even as many as the Lord shall call. You got to answer his calling. You got to do what he says. You got to answer his calling. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort. Watch this. He says, save yourselves. If they were saved already, what did he tell them to save themselves for? He said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. In other words, they're not saved yet. Our world today teaches a prayer that we have to say, and they say, save yourself. And we people in the Church of Christ said, oh, wow, I don't understand. That's not what the scriptures say. It said, save yourselves. Now, what are they going to do to save themselves? Look at verse 41. And they that gladly receive the word was baptized. Amen. You got to gladly receive the word. To understand the word, you have to let those things go. The Bible is telling us the process of conversion right here. Amen. They that gladly received the word were baptized. And the same day, they were added unto them 3,000 souls. They were added unto who? Them, the apostles. Apostles were already members of the church. The Holy Spirit of promise had baptized them. Listen, you just don't get baptized and find the church and say, and they continue. They continue. Continue what? Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. When you change the doctrine, when you change the teaching, you change the doctrine. When you say that this is the way you be saved and this is the way you be saved, you change the doctrine. Because this doctrine is going to be an eyewitness doctrine that's going to be preached. Verse number 8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses in both Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. This gospel is not going to change. This gospel, this Holy Spirit of promise to the apostles, the reason why they was designated to have this, how in the world are you going to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? you got to know every language. You go in Asia, you go into Turkey, you go into Rome, they speak different languages there. How are you going to speak their language? You got to have power. And the things that they say in our religious world today, I say again, and you can say again as well, if you're truthful enough, that you don't know what they're saying, because the gospel must be edifying. It must prick the heart. Verse number 7 says, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Here's another, one more verse. We're going to about to close. Look at verse number 43. If you want to know once again who got the power of the Holy Ghost, the scriptures is constantly revealing itself. It says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Not the 120. It was done by the apostles. The one who the power of the Holy Spirit with cloven tongues of fire rested upon their head. It was done by the apostles. Do you believe this gospel message? You had a chance to rightly divide as I walked you through this same chapter. You know, in the book of Ephesians 1 and 23 says, now that we have trusted in the gospel, what is the gospel of Christ going to do for us? It's going to take away our sins. It's going to give us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We've been sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And we're about to close. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9 tells us that God is coming back for those that know not God and who obey not the doctrine of the gospel of Christ. So we must want to obey it the way that is in the scriptures, so we can have a surety, and your heart will be pricked that you said, I have obeyed that former doctrine of Christ. Matthew 7 tells us, 21 to 24, is that as many going to be coming in that last day and say, Lord, Lord, I have done many wonderful works in your name. And God the Father, the eternal Father that was there before the beginning, he's going to say, I know you not, because your works is of iniquity. And Colossians 1 and 23 says that this same gospel was preached over into the whole world. So when they continued the apostles' teaching and doctrine, this same doctrine was preached over into the whole world. It was only one church. All these other churches that we have today and all these different doctrines that we have today were not there. If you want to be a member, you will be a member. You will be a Christian, and a Christian only. You cannot say, well, I'm going back to my church. You have to, because you'll be going back to that doctrine. You want to continue in the doctrine and what you have obeyed. You want to grow into the church of the Lord, because what is that baptism is doing for us, and we have such a great blessing. When we repent, then all our sins will be washed away in baptism. He said, save yourselves. Save yourselves. That's what you have to do. So you have to do that part in baptism. Not saying a sinner's prayer. That is not in there. If you read it in the text, let me know where it's at. It's not there. So let us embrace this word of God, because it is the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says in Revelation 22 and 18, says anyone that adds or takes away from the word of God will be added and taken away from him in the book of life. You don't want to do that. That's all Satan did, was add one word and confuse the whole world. You have heard the word of God. Don't you want to be a member? The only Bible, the only church that you can read in the Bible. as we stand up and sing the invitation.